Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's good, everybody? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. For those of you who are new here, allow us to introduce ourselves. We are your hosts, Sway and Liz, and on this podcast, we talk about true crime, ghost stories, and basically anything scary you can think of, we're going to talk about it. So if that interests you, make sure to add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode.
Yes, guys, and we also review the latest scary movies, and if you have any stories you'd like us to talk about, please feel free to send in your requests on any of our social media pages at Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K. But before we begin today's episode, I do want to talk about, we recently just watched The Nun, and man,
The Nun 2. Oh,
that my was gosh. Crazy. Honestly, like, okay, the first one I'll say wasn't as scary as I thought it would have been, you know, but The Nun 2, man, we watched it in theaters, and like the whole time we were like the first to arrive at the theater, so I was like crossing my fingers. I'm like, oh my god, like please somebody else show up because I don't want it to be just us. And thankfully more people showed up, but it was still hecka scary, and there was parts where I was just like shaking and I'd like jump all crazy. So I'd have to give it a 10 out of 10. It, like, the ending definitely does leave you to think that they're gonna have like The Nun 3, right?
Does like kind of leave you on a little bit of a like cliffhanger, but then it doesn't seem like a cliffhanger. But I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 10 too. There's not gonna be any spoilers, but it's just like the jump scares in this movie definitely do get you. I feel like over the years they've gotten better, well, scary movies have gotten better at not making jump scares that predictable.
I will say this part, I will say this, and hopefully it doesn't spoil too much, but there's like this little thing, like it's a goat, right? It's a goat that's the devil. Oh my god, all it's night, so like weird. All night I was just like, man, please, I hope I don't dream about this. I hope I don't think about this anymore. Overall, guys, The Nun 2 was 10 out of 10. If you haven't watched it, definitely check it out. But now that we're on the topic of Ed Gein, I thought his name was Ed Gein. And my dad's like, no, it's Ed Gein. Yeah, I'm like, Gein. That's good to know.
I guess I would have never known how to pronounce it if I didn't hear it before.
Right.
It does look like Ed Gein.
Right. It does. But there's actually this like docuseries kind of deal that came out on September 17th. It's called Ed Gein's Lost Tape. So I can't remember what streaming platform it's on, but I do want to watch it. It looks freaking hecka scary. And honestly, like,
this guy's crazy.
He was crazy, but like even just like I try to find interviews where I can hear his voice because I'm like I kind of want to know like how this guy sounded and stuff. I couldn't find anything, but in that docuseries I believe there's like some things in there that they have of him talking, so I'm kind of intrigued to I want to hear it, not in like a weird way, I just want to like match the voice to the person, because this guy looked completely normal. But there's the show called, you know, the Norman, you know, Norman Bates, is that what the show is called? Norman Bates Hotel, whatever. But he, this show was actually, and this like, you know, figure was actually inspired by Ed Gein, if you guys aren't, you know, familiar with that. That show was insane, and like they definitely brought to life what this guy did in certain episodes, which is completely insane. That show always left me like on edge.
And the way I found out about Ed Gein was through the Dahmer series, the latest one that came out, the monster one, because they talk about, there's a scene where Dahmer's in jail and his dad is talking to him and all that, and they bring over a magazine and then they start talking about cases that are similar to him and people that kind of like fantasize over the stuff he does. And they talked about Ed Gein, and they went into detail of what he used to do. And it honestly, it like blew my mind of how sick this dude was.
Yeah, he was pretty...
like, it was insane.
Now, with all that being said, let's just jump right into it. We're going to be talking about Ed Gein, aka the Butcher of Plainfield, who inspired many films that are fan favorites. This episode will literally leave your skin crawling. So let's jump right into it. Ed Theodore Gein was born on August 27th, 1906 in La Crosse, Wisconsin. His parents were George and Augusta Gein. His mother was known to be a very religious lady, where she would constantly preach about sins of lust and carnal desire, that all women were promiscuous, etc. except herself. His father was actually an alcoholic, sadly, and his mother despised their father, but due to their religious beliefs, she never wanted to divorce him. So around 1915, their mother moved the family to Plainfield, Wisconsin, where Ed and his older brother, Henry, were isolated by their mother. Ed had no real friends. Most of the kids at school would bully him at times, making it difficult to keep friendship. Then whenever him and his brother, Henry, would try to make friends, their mother would scold them and kind of told them, like, you can't have friends. Like, it's only, you know, us. That's basically it. So they would hardly leave the farm, and when they would, it was only to attend school.
Ed Gein had a hard childhood due to his father being an alcoholic and his mother being verbally abusive. Their mother truly believed that the boys were failures and destined to be just like their father. And even though his mother wasn't mentally stable, he completely idolized her, which was concerning to his older brother, Henry. Henry would question his reasonings for idolizing his mom in front of her, which would lead to arguments between the brothers. Then in 1940, their father passed away of heart failure caused by alcohol, leaving Ed and Henry to work a lot of odd jobs to support their mother.
Which is pretty sad. Like, I think his obsession with his mom was pretty confusing to me, because it's like, if his mom was like that, like, why did he idolize her so much?
Yeah, that's pretty, like, weird.
I wonder if it was just kind of like a defense mechanism, maybe. Like, his obsession with her, like, I don't know. I guess, like, he probably loved his mom so much he saw her as a different person than she was.
Jumping back into it, around 1944, Henry sadly passed away under some mysterious circumstances during a fire near the family farm in Plainfield when they were burning a bush fire, and the fire just, like, raged out of control. The odd part about his death was that Ed reported that he was missing, stating him and Henry were separate during the fire. He then called police and led the search party directly to his brother's burned body. What's crazy is where his body was, it wasn't even touched by fire. When they did an autopsy report on Henry's body, there were bruises found on his head. However, they still ruled it out as an accident.
Now, fast forwarding to a year later, on December 29th, 1945, Ed's mother passed away from a stroke. Ed had stayed on the farm supporting himself after his mother's death, and he began to board up rooms used by his mother, Augusta, leaving them untouched, and then he would live in this tiny room near the kitchen, kind of leaving the rest of the house to fall apart. Later on, around this time frame, he grew to be fascinated by human anatomy and began to read books on it, leading him to his sinister ways. 2 years later, after his mother's death, it was said that Ed had told a psychiatrist a force built up inside of him, and he started to dig up recently deceased women's graves and take body parts from them, trying to bring his mom back. And guys, before we continue, the next details we're about to say may be graphic, so just a warning before we continue.
Around November 16, 1957, a woman known as Bernice Warden was reported missing from her hardware store in Plainfield. The cash register was gone, along with the trail of blood leading to the back. Bernice's son, who was a deputy sheriff, grew suspicious of Ed, so he sent authorities to Ed's house. When they arrived, they were in shock from what they found, because hanging from the ceiling was Bernice's body, headless and gutted. They also discovered organs in a jar and skulls in soup bowls. He would skin his victims to create a woman's suit to feel like he was in his mother's skin. They also found human skin-covered chairs, bowls made from human skulls, a corset made from a female torso, human skin leggings, then his victim Mary Hogan's head in a box, and his second victim Bernice's heart in a plastic bag, along with many other horrific things.
Honestly, guys, and I'm not gonna lie, this is gonna be, like, pretty nasty, but when I was working on this script, I was eating carnitas, and when I, like, was reading all the stuff that he, when he found, I couldn't. I got the urge to like want to vomit, that I couldn't even eat my tacos after that. Like, it ruined carnitas for me.
Like, I remember doing research on this guy after the Dahmer thing, because I'm like, I've never heard of this dude. He basically, like, everything inside of the house was made from his victims.
Yeah,
it was reported that he had a lamp that was made out of a human skull. And then he had chairs, like we said, that had human skin. And then he literally ate out of skulls that were molded into a freaking bowl.
I don't understand how this guy, like, was chill with that, you know? That's just weird. I don't know, especially, like, the fact that there was, like, leggings made out of human skin. I don't know why I whispered that, but that was just, like, whoa.
When it comes to these kind of people, I don't know how they could live with themselves like that. Like, how could,
like, you... Do they not feel guilt?
Like, how could you do these type of things and then still go to sleep and just continue with your regular life? I just don't understand, when it comes to these kind of people, how they can live with that.
And I'd imagine that how... terribly. Mm. And I probably would have vomited if I would have, it was one of those, you know, sheriffs or deputies that walked in and saw that, because Jesus Christ, I don't know what I'd do. But Ed Gein was finally caught, guys, and he was then questioned and confessed to killing Bernice and Mary Hogan 3 years earlier. He said his victims, both dead and living, were all women who reminded him of his mother. He also admitted to digging up corpses, practicing necrophilia, and making masks and suits out of their skin to wear at home. With all this information, they tried to connect him to other murders with similar deaths, but they were unable to. He then entered a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity and was found unfit for trial in January of 1958.
He was admitted to the Central State Hospital, where he spent most of his time there. Then by 1968, he was finally deemed fit for trial. He was found guilty of Bernice's murder and found insane at the time of the murder. He continued to stay at the Central State Hospital until he tried to petition for release in 1974, but he was denied. Then about 10 years later, his heart began to fail and was transferred to Mendota Mental Health Institution, where he would later die of cancer and respiratory illnesses on July 26, 1984. Still to this day, Ed Gein's horrific story leads many puzzled as to why he had, you know, been obsessed with his mother. His gruesome acts influenced many movies such as Psycho, The Silence of the Lambs, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And some weird facts about him is someone actually made skin chairs inspired by Ed Gein, which was very unsettling. We're gonna take a look at these pictures. This is the type of stuff that you should not be inspired by. Like, you should not look at this and be like, yeah, I'm gonna go recreate these human skin chairs that Ed Gein made. Like, no.
Why? And I'm so scared to look at this, but, like, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, are you ready?
I've seen, like, the ones he made, but not the ones that they recreated.
Okay, just look.
What the heck?
Right?
No, that's nasty.
Like, I don't even know what they were thinking or why they were like, gross. I'm gonna go ahead and make these chairs. Like, it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be, I don't know what, it's just,
yeah, like to I me, said, this it's is not something you should be inspired gross. By.
Yeah, it's really weird, but they were actually never able to confirm that he killed his brother, but many believe he did.
I'm gonna say he did.
Yeah, I'm gonna say so too, because he probably got so mad that, like, his brother would call him out about him, you know, like, glorifying his mom so much that he was just like, I had enough.
Probably that was a time where he just, like, broke.
Yeah, like a screw just let loose, and, like, he was just like, I don't know, entered this whole different era of himself. Yeah. But the house that, you know, that house that was out in Plainfield, it was actually mysteriously burned down in March of 1958, and then they later bulldozed it, but people still visit the spot where the house once stood.
I was gonna say, imagine it was still up. I just feel like the presence would be so heavy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I wonder even just standing on that land in general, if the energy is, like, heavy. You know,
because I feel like they should do a lot of this when it comes to these serial killers, like places they stay at. I don't think it should be turned into no museum or nothing. Like,
I get that,
the thing they did with Dahmer, they took down the apartments he was at, his house, they took it down. And I don't know about John Wayne Gacy, if they took down his house, but I feel like they should do that, because destroy I don't think stuff. These people should be like,
oh, I want
remembered
to look at
that
it.
Way yeah. or be like, oh, that's interesting, let me go check it out.
Yeah, like, oh, this is what he did. Yeah. His gravestone was actually left unmarked and was stolen in the 2000s. Which, hey, shoot, I'd steal his gravestone too, and I'd knock it down, because it's like, dude, look at what you freaking did. There was a total of 10 women found in this house.
That's crazy.
I don't know, like, at the end of the day, like we always say, it's really hard, because, like, these people who end up, you know, becoming serial killers had a hard childhood. So, like, when you learn more about them and how, like, they first, like, began, it's like, it makes you feel sad in a way.
Yeah.
But also, like, why, like, you had the choice to not do this and you did it. Overall, that is the end of today's story. Before we do close off, I do want to mention, we did make a post, if you guys do follow us on Instagram or Facebook, that we are wanting you guys to send in some of your scariest stories that happened to you through email, so we can, you know, have a chance to say all of them on, like, a podcast episode. I think it'd be so fun, and especially for Halloween coming around, like, literally around the corner.
Yeah.
I think it would be an awesome Halloween episode. So we would love to tell you guys a story. So feel free to send those in to our email, and it will be in the description of this episode.
Yes, guys. But thank you guys for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on all of our pages. Like we said, it's the Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review letting us know what you loved about it. We would really appreciate that. But without further ado, we are out.
Peace.